going out to the Garden of Gethsemane and all the events that took place after. And so we've already seen that Jesus is beginning to reveal many great truths and promises there in the upper room. So in the first part of the chapter, we were reminded that Jesus is coming back. Amen. And that he's preparing a place for us in heaven. What a blessing it is to know that truth. Then last week, Jesus revealed that he is the way and the truth and the life. Three of the great I Ams of the Gospel of John revealed there, and made it clear to the disciples that one day they would join him in the place where he was going, which of course is glory. And now, here in this next part of the chapter, Jesus is going to talk about the Comforter. Now, he's mentioned the Holy Ghost in the past to the disciples, talking about how one day they would be baptized with the Holy Ghost. But he hasn't given a good outline, if you will, of his ministry, the Holy Ghost's ministry. And that's where this comes in. And we learn a lot about the Holy Ghost in this passage, starting in verse 12 and going down through verse 27 of John 14. The Bible says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So tonight we learn about the Comforter. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray you'd use your word now to teach us and to grow us. We thank you for the privilege of opening it and pray you'll guide us in your truth. And you'll be blessed by this service. And we just want to honor you, Lord, and we give it to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So you can see Jesus here now introducing the Holy Ghost as the Comforter and as many other aspects of his ministry, and also explaining there in verse 12 that we will do greater works than Jesus. And how is this possible? It's impossible because of the Holy Ghost who indwells us and empowers us. If you go over to chapter 16 of John and look at verse 7, he says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." So Jesus is making it very clear that, and I don't know that we completely understand this, but it looks like that only one person of the Godhead is to be on earth at one time. So Jesus is saying that when I leave the earth bodily, I will send the Holy Ghost to come down and indwell believers, which of course happened on the day of Pentecost, right after the ascension. So Jesus is making that very clear to the disciples. And he says later down in the passage, he is with you and he shall be in you. So he's saying that this is going to be a future event. So the Holy Ghost at this point in history, if you will, was not yet indwelling people permanently like he does now. He wasn't sealing people like he does now. And that's what Jesus is explaining to the disciples, that this can't happen until after he departs. And yeah, we'll talk more about that later. But anyway, what does he mean when he talks about he's going to come and indwell us? Well, the Bible teaches that he baptizes us into the body of Christ. Amen? 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. So the day that we trust Christ, the day that we're born again, the Holy Ghost places us into the body of Christ. It's the Spirit that does that. And he then also renews us and makes us a new creature. So he's involved in our salvation. Go to Titus 3:5 and I'll show you this. But he, as we're trying to understand his ministry tonight, the first aspect of his ministry is salvation itself. That he is the one who puts us into the body of Christ. And if you go to look at Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, very familiar verse, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost is involved in renewing us, making us a new creature. So he baptizes us into the body of Christ and he renews us. Now go to Acts chapter 1 verse 8 and we'll see here again, Jesus here is prophesying about the Holy Ghost's ministry here in Acts 1. Now this is just three verses before his ascension. But notice here in Acts 1, 8, ye shall receive what? Power. And so the Holy Ghost is involved in saving us and baptizing us into the body of Christ. But when he comes and indwells us, he comes to give us power. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now they were told to wait in the upper room and they didn't know what they were waiting for. He just said you'll be endued with power from on high. And what they were waiting for was the Holy Ghost to come down and indwell them and empower them and give them gifts. And of course, we read about that in 1 Corinthians 12. Turn over there quickly, where the Holy Ghost, when he comes and indwells us, he empowers us to be witnesses, but he also gives us gifts. Notice 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8. It says, for to one is given, look at these next three words, by the Spirit. So it's the Holy Spirit who gives us these gifts. Then he talks about the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, by the same what? Spirit. To another, faith, by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing, by the same Spirit. So notice that common theme that the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost gives us these gifts. So he saves us, he baptizes us into the body of Christ, he empowers us to be a witness, and he gives us gifts. And so, praise the Lord for the Comforter. This is just the beginning of his ministry and understanding it. So back to our passage, in verse 14, he goes on to say, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now this is in the context of the Comforter, the Holy Ghost. How are they connected? Well, if you go to Romans 8:26, we'll see that the Holy Ghost, another one of his ministries, is not only to save us and to put us into the body of Christ and empower us and give us gifts, but it's also to help us with our prayers. Think about that. That he takes our prayers and makes them acceptable to the Heavenly Father. We read that here, Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit is here to do so many things for us as believers in Jesus Christ. He saves us. He puts us into the body of Christ. He empowers us to be witnesses. He imparts unto us the gifts of the Holy Ghost. And as we see here, he even helps us with our prayer life. He takes our feeble prayers given by feeble, weak sinners and makes them acceptable to our Heavenly Father. So Jesus goes on to make it clear that obviously if we love him, we'll keep his commandments. We've talked about this, but in verse 16, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter." So this is one of his names. He is not only here to empower us and to baptize us in the body of Christ and to give us gifts and to help us with our prayers. He is even here to comfort us. And how many times in our lives do we need the comfort of the Holy Ghost? You know, the Bible talks about how God comforts his children in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, but he does that through the person of the Holy Ghost. He is the Comforter. That's one of his names. He has other names in the Bible: the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Ghost. But one of his names reveals part of his mission here on earth for believers, and that is he is the Comforter. He's here to comfort us. Now, how long does he stay with us? Verse 16, "That he may abide with you forever." Now, the Bible very clearly teaches that if we don't have the Holy Ghost, we're not saved. And I'll show you that in Romans 8, 9. Because there's a lot of Christians out there that teach that we can lose the Holy Ghost. Well, maybe that was true in the Old Testament, but it's not true now. He came to indwell us, and we'll see in a moment how long. So notice Romans 8, 9. "You're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." So if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not saved. They're synonymous. Being saved and having the Holy Ghost are one and the same. Because the day we're saved, he indwells us and empowers us and imparts gifts unto us. And he also seals us. Go to Ephesians 4:30 and we'll see this. And this is what I meant when I said you cannot lose the Holy Ghost as a Christian, because he has sealed us. And God tells us for how long. Notice Ephesians 4, verse 30. "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until you sin." Is that what it says? No, it says until the day of redemption. The day that we are fully redeemed, which includes not only our spirit and our soul, but our bodies. The day that we leave this earth and get a new body and our redemption is complete, we're sealed until then. So people that teach you can lose your salvation, that means they teach you can lose the Spirit. And if you can lose the Spirit, then this seal wasn't very powerful, was it? Think about it. This is God's seal. We're sealed until the day of redemption by the Holy Spirit of God. There are people that say you can lose your salvation say that we can break this seal. The seal of the Creator of the universe. Think about that. So, he's here to abide with us forever. And on our passage, verse 17, "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not." And then he says there in verse 17, "He dwelleth with you and shall be in you." Yes. An exception. There's nothing else you can say about it. It has to be an exception. Let's just say I would never want to be a Bible translator. His question was that very last chapter, where he says, don't take away from God's word, don't add to God's word, or he'll take your name out of the book of life. And Christian people often say, well, that can't be what it means because it's not consistent with our understanding of eternal security. And so then they go try to change what it means. That's clearly what it says and what it means. So I say that it's an exception for those who mess with God's word. So don't do it. And I would never want to be a Bible translator and not be faithful to God's word. but instead make changes to be popular with the masses, like taking out Acts 8:37, for example. They don't do that because of the manuscripts. They do that because it teaches that infant baptism isn't scriptural. So they remove it to make the Bible more popular for the masses. They have to answer to God for that. Anyway, good question, Kelvin. Thank you for asking it. There's no other explanation that I can see. If we're going to believe God's word is true and we can't change it to suit us, then it has to be an exception. So, he indwells us until the day of redemption. He empowers us. He imparts gifts unto us. But he does more than that. And let's look on down, verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Wow. Holy Ghost is busy in our lives, isn't he? When you think about all these things that he does for us. I mean, yes, at the day of salvation, he saves us and puts us into the body of Christ. But after we're saved, he empowers us to be a witness. He gives the gifts to us so that we can serve the Lord. He helps with our prayers so that God can understand them and he makes them acceptable to a perfect and holy God. And because of his name, he comforts us. He seals us until the day of redemption. But beyond that, now we see here that he also helps us to understand the Bible. He'll teach you things. He'll bring things to your remembrance, as we read here. And if you go over to chapter 15, verse 26, it looks like this is one of his primary ministries to us, is to help us understand this book. Now, if you go to understand any book, the best person to help you understand the book would be the person that wrote it. Amen? Whoever the author is, if you have trouble understanding part of it, who better to go to than the author? Well, the Holy Ghost is the author. Because he's God. So who better to help us understand his word than the one who wrote it? And that's one of his ministries. In John 15:26, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And then look at chapter 16 now of John, verses 13 and 14. Howbeit, when he, who? The Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Verse 14, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. There's no better person, and I'll use the word person lightly, to help you understand God's word than God, who indwells you once you're born again. That's one of the reasons why an unsaved person can't understand the Bible, because they don't have the Holy Spirit. That's why the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 2, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. He doesn't have the Spirit to teach him and give him the discernment, so he can't grasp it. But we have the Holy Spirit, and one of his beautiful ministries to us as his children is to teach us and guide us in understanding his word. That's why I say to people all the time, pastors don't have a corner on the market when it comes to understanding the Bible. We all have the same Holy Spirit, God, and the same Bible. We just need to study it and pray and trust God and help us to learn. And the Holy Spirit, that's exactly what he will do for us, is he will help us to understand. One more passage on this, 1 Corinthians 2:10, on this ministry of helping us to understand the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 2:10, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. So there it is again. You can't understand the things of God without the Spirit of God. So another one of his beautiful ministries to us is to help us understand His Word is to open it up to us and teach it to us. Praise the Lord. Did you also notice, just kind of a side note, in John 16:13, He said, He shall not speak of Himself. You say, well, what's the big deal there? Have you ever noticed that the charismatic movement talks more about the Holy Spirit than they do Jesus sometimes? And yet, doesn't it say here He would not speak of Himself, but then instead He would speak of Jesus? He's the silent one when it comes to the Trinity. He doesn't promote Himself. And we're never told in Scripture to elevate Him or talk so much about Him. We're to elevate Jesus. We're to worship Jesus. We're to magnify Jesus. The Holy Spirit, as Jesus said here, verse 13, He shall not speak of Himself. But whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. Verse 14, He shall glorify what? Me. The Holy Spirit's here to glorify Jesus, not Himself. So it's kind of a red flag for us when you hear people, they just want to talk about the Holy Spirit this and the Holy Ghost this and the Holy Ghost that. Makes you wonder, doesn't it? Anyway, just kind of a side note there. So on to our path. We'll finish with verse 27. Peace I leave with you, John 14:27. And my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So the Holy Spirit is also here to give us that peace that we read about in the Word, where it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, that your requests may be known unto God, Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ. Who gives us that peace? The Holy Spirit. So we are so blessed. Jesus, yes, He left the earth. And the disciples at first, they're like, well, what do we do now? We don't have Jesus. He said, I will send a comforter. I will send someone else. I will send another part of the Godhead. And that's exactly what He did on the day of Pentecost. And now when we trust Christ, He's there for us. That's why the Bible says we're the temple of the Holy Ghost, because He moves in, puts us into the body of Christ, and then begins to make a lot of changes. Amen? He gives us gifts. He empowers us to be witnesses. As we've seen there, He comforts us. He gives us peace. And He even helps our prayer life. And He guides us. As we study God's Word, He helps us to understand it and learn. So this is the Comforter whom Jesus here is essentially introducing to the disciples and to us. So up to this point, all they knew about the Holy Spirit was that He would one day baptize them. And they knew that from John the Baptist, right? There's one whose shoe latchets I'm not worthy to loose, who will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Up to that point, that's pretty much all they knew about the Holy Spirit, was He was going to someday baptize them. They didn't know all these other things until Jesus now revealed them here in the upper room and to us. So thank the Lord for the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, who indwells us at salvation, all the many things He does for us, which just reminds us how important it is that when we do study the Word, what should we do? We should pray like David. Lord, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law, as he said in Psalm 119:18. In other words, Lord, I need you to help me understand this. I need the Holy Spirit to guide me. The good news is, He will. Amen. The Comforter. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful passage.